Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great because we had a hell of a week.
We always have a hell of a week.
No, but this time we really outdid ourselves. Do you remember what happened on Monday?
No.
We went and met with Lior Cohen.
Yeah. Lior.Cohen on Snapchat.
Lior.Cohen on Snapchat. He has the best snap around. We've been telling you about it for months. And then because his son is one of the greatest people on the face of the earth. Shout out to Oz. Shout out to Zeke. Shout out to everyone at 300. We had an hour and a half meeting with Lior.Cohen on Snapchat.
So very productive meeting.
Very productive. We talked about business opportunities. We talked about working together. We talked about their business, our business. We talked how business was booming.
Yes, we talked about his Snapchat.
I said that my favorite part was how honest it was.
You were saying something of import.
I think everything I was saying was of import.
Yeah, but he looked across the table, and you were saying something, and he goes,
"Do you know who you remind me of?" And I'm like, look, I mean, what? Who, Andy Samberg?
I always get, like, Jeff Goldblum, basically any Jew.
You get,
the guy
you
from
also get
Flight
the
Conchords,
yeah.
Jermaine.
And he's just like, no, you remind me of one of the Marx Brothers. It's and like, I'm like, all right. And he goes, Harpo. So Harpo, for those who don't know, is the blonde, curly-haired one, the mute.
Basically, that means that for an hour and, I don't know, 15 minutes, all that Lior heard was Eric going,
with that horn. It was amazing. It was really, you know, it's one of those moments where you look back over your career, let's say the last 8 years of our career, and think to ourselves, we've made it to have an audience with one of the most important people in the music business, and meanwhile, One thing about our podcast is that we had this amazing string of 5 episodes where, honestly, people just kept bringing up stories about Puff Daddy's Miami mansion.
Started out with Andrew Barber going down there with Trinidad James.
Asher Roth.
Yep, he had one.
Mano had one where he was down with T.I. and Nelly, and they were having a push-up competition in Puff's house.
Yeah, that was filmed by Ashanti.
Yeah. And by the way, not everybody could have a story about Puff's mansion. Obviously, last week's episode...
Well, first of all, we don't have stories about Puff's mansion.
We
don't. Never been there.
But neither did Damian Lemon last week. So this
people
week, what we did...
People got mad. Yeah, people got mad. And so this week, we have amended our ways. We have made up for our
mistakes.
Yeah.
So we apologize, and we brought in our manager, Naima Cochran, who has a history at Bad Boy, and here she is telling a story about Puff Daddy's mansion.
Hi. Okay, so first of all, if somehow Puff ends up hearing this, Puff, I promise, like, I'm not about to say anything crazy. So let me first tell you why I'm qualified to even tell the story. So I used to work at Bad Boy a long time ago as an intern. It's the way I got started.
Wait, who was there when you were there?
Mace, Black Rob, Carl Thomas. Mm.
This is prime Bad
Mario
Boy.
Mario Winans. Right,
yeah, Mario, yes. This was like the second Mace album, the second Total album, the second 112 album, the Carl Thomas album, the Black Rob album, the Puff Daddy Forever album.
Yep.
But my actual closer interactions with Puff came later when I worked for Jessica Rosenblum. And Jessica and Puff obviously go way, way back. Anybody who knows anything about New York nightlife knows this. They go way back. And Jessica is also the person who, along with Puff, curated his famous white parties. I'm already segueing a little bit. But the one thing about Puff's white parties that was amazing is that when he says white, he means white. Like, he doesn't want to see the Polo Horse logo. He doesn't want a stripe. He doesn't want an off-white. He doesn't want an accrue. He like it's like white, like shoes white, sock, like night, like no pink shoes, not some bright accessory, white.
Or
like,
else you get turned away.
Yeah, you absolutely get turned away. It's happened. It's happened to like people who are really, really down with him, where he literally had to come outside and maybe say, "Okay, I'm gonna let you in, but motherfucker, you are fucking up my sex." Like, it's really problematic. So this is why I'm qualified to discuss these things. So the first time I ever went to Puff's house, this was actually before I was at Bad Boy. This was like the year before I started working at Bad Boy. Oh, let me back up for a second. If you've ever seen the Satisfy You video, Puff and R. Kelly. Is it that one?
Yeah.
Puff and R. Kelly.
In 2000.
That's his house. That's his house in the Hamptons where the video is, where the video shot. So if you want a visual, go back and find that video because that's actually his house. What I'm going to say first is that these are not about to be any like salacious, let me tell you about like some really ridiculous hip hop shit that happened at Puff's house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is not what this is. This is really more about how Puff's homes tell you even more about the type of person Puff is. First of all, the whole like really clean lines, blank slate aesthetics, white lilies, diptyque candles, like that a lot of executives subscribe to now, or that a lot of people do in their homes now. Like Puff was the first person I knew doing that shit. So it's like every, so no matter, so he has, I don't know what he has now, but there's the house in LA, house in the Hamptons, the house on Star Island in Miami, and there was a house in Jersey. I think he might have gotten rid of the house in Jersey. But each house, while each one is aesthetically different, the houses are run the same. So yes, there's a chef. There's diptyque candles, there's white lilies, there's a no shoes policy, so there are slippers at the doors. If you were to open any of the cupboards or cabinets or anything like that, it's always stocked with Kiehl's products. So the first one I ever went to, it was much more relaxed because people figure if you made your way to Puff's house, you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
It's like tucked away in East Hampton somewhere, like almost impossible to find. I got lost a million times. At this point, Shine and I were really good friends. Like I'm on the phone with Shine, and this has been like cellular minutes, like fucking $3.99 a minute in East Hampton, like on a, you know, on a Motorola.
Did you have service all the way out there?
No. And that was the other thing, like just trying to like get him and lose him and get him and lose him, to find my way out there. And so I brought a friend of mine who's a very good friend of mine, but she in addition brought like these other three girls I didn't know. And at this point I didn't care enough. I wasn't entrenched enough in the scene to say what I would say now, which is you're not bringing these people on, or to issue a warning. Like if you're bringing some people I don't know, let's make sure like everybody's behavior is mm-hmm. in check, because you're not going to make me look crazy. I wasn't yet enough of an industry person to even make that comment. It was like my first year in the game. So we go up there. And like I said, it's very casual. So it's not like heavy security. It's not like, let me check your name at the guest list, the gate. It's none of that. It's just very chill. DJs, people are chilling. Don't even think this was a white party. I think this was just like a party at his house.
And everybody just happened to be wearing white.
Right. But the reason I say it is because I don't think I was wearing white. In my memory of this moment, I wasn't wearing white. So I'm like, maybe it was just a barbecue. But you know, like people were in the pool. Mm-hmm. It's still like a very family vibe. It's not like a ton of people. So we're there. I don't think anything remarkable happened during the night. But when we're leaving, we get in the car. We're heading back to the city. And this chick is like, yo, I got like a pair of Puff's underwear. And we're like, so like I said, it was very casual. You could go in the house because there's a bathroom downstairs, like off the pool. So like people were actually able to go like in the house, go to the bathroom. Like that's how casual it was. So she's like, yo, I got a pair of like Puff's underwear. And we're like, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, I went into like the dirty clothes hamper in the bathroom and I got a pair of drawers. And we're like, first of all, why would you do that? Secondly, how do you know those are his? Like, it could be anybody who's staying in the house. Like, are you crazy right now?
Yes, she's crazy.
Yes, yeah. Actually. And I was like, yo, I really wanted to put her out on the side of the road. I was so offended by that level of groupie behavior. I was mortified.
Did she put it in her bag or something?
I have no idea what she did. Like,
was it white?
I definitely did not look. I definitely didn't ask for any kind of verification, any kind of anything. So that was my first experience. And thank God she didn't get caught, because that probably would have been my last experience at Puff's house, right? Another thing about Puff's Hampton's house, and I wish I could remember the detail on this, but there was a year, I want to say it was during the winter. It wasn't during the summer, because he spent a lot of time out there, where there was this woman who kept breaking into the house and like staying there on the weekends.
Oh.
Like consistently, and every time they would find her, like she was saying that she was like, I want to say she was saying she was Puff's girlfriend, or she had Puff's permission or something. And I guess she was just so he has, to get into the house, there's like a gated fence. I mean, an electric gate. And I guess she was somehow getting over the gate. And once she got over the gate, maybe like one of the doors was unlocked or something like that. But yeah, so he definitely had like, and it was multiple times. Like it wasn't just once or twice. I want to say it happened several times that she was just like lamping in the house.
Have a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Your friend's friend.
Yeah, the one who like stole his underwear.
Oh, good luck. Could you imagine? Oh my God. Actually, you could be onto something.
Shouts to Naima Cochran. Shouts to Friends at Work. There's so many episodes that we've done of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Everyone from Currency to Bun B to Jadakiss to JoJo to
Tax Stone to Joe Budden to...
Just, there's so many of them, and people should go check them out.
Yeah, you can find them on the internet, anywhere like soundcloud.com/A Waste of Time. You can also go on iTunes, search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are It's the Real. You can find us on Twitter at It's the Real. You can find us on Snapchat at It's the Real or It's the Real Eric. Either one works. You'll find one of us on both of those. You can find us on Instagram at It's the Real or It's the Real Eric or It's the Real Jeff. And
there's so many options on ways to find us.
We are literally everywhere.
Google us. Google us. Today's episode features our friends, Boss Nod and Big Waz, who you may remember were on the open mic episode. They led it off with the Drake story. If not, go back and listen to that. That whole episode's amazing. Today, it's just nonstop laughter the whole way through. Enjoy this episode. When do you want to get into it?
I will always want to get into it.
Let's do it right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Throwing Stacks, a.k.a. Battle of the Bands.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Bully D. Williams, a.k.a. Cold 45.
Yo, yo, what up, what up, what up? It's Nod Gene, a.k.a. Nod Van Dam, a.k.a. Hey. Nod Escobar,
hey.
A.k.a. Daddy Warbucks,
a.k.a. Nod Stradamus,
a.k.a. Nod Stradamus.
What up, it's Waz, a.k.a. Big Waz, a.k.a. your favorite Haitian, a.k.a. we in this bitch.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but it's the real.
Yo,
wait, I want to be your favorite Haitian.
I know, wait. But how come Nod's not the favorite Haitian?
I don't know, man. I fell off, man. I'm washed now.
Well, he's related, so yeah. It's all in the family.
Yo, for the record, this is what people wanted right here. People wanted the return
date. People are one person.
No.
Shout out to Trav Dave, man. At Trav Dave. I've never met this man ever in my life, but he's a heavy supporter of what? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what he's supporting.
Yeah, salute. I definitely got a couple of tweets. It's like, yo, you know, you need to get your own episode of the show, which is always kind of
crazy. So we had you guys on the open mic episode, and if people haven't heard it, your Drake story is incredible. It's one for the ages.
Stole the show.
It's amazing.
I definitely got a lot of feedback from that. Like, you know, I tend to tweet about Drake a lot on the internet, and now tweet about Drake, it's like, I can't hear you not telling that story, no matter what I'm saying about Drake. So it's like I've been exposed as just pure fanboy bias.
But you're not the one with an experience shower. You have an experience shower, Nod.
There you go.
Experience shower?
Yeah, the rainbow shit that like
Drake made it famous.
Oh, why you gotta bring that up, man?
Your shit changes colors. Damn. And like,
you know what's crazy? While I was snapping that, I was like, man, this is not a good idea. For other reasons. For like, you know, for like anybody I'm possibly courting, or you know what I mean, it just makes me seem like some type of scumbag. All right, so I got this brand new shower head at the crib. My roommate actually bought it. It's like my man.
No, don't pass it off to him. You did it.
Shout out to Arthur. Arthur copped this new shower head, right?
Online.
You know what I'm saying? Installed the joint. And I didn't really get a chance to like really play around with it. Pause if anybody plays that game, if applicable, whatever. So I was at the crib one day, and I'm messing with the shower or whatever, and it glows in the dark. The shower head glows, like, and it changes according to temperature. So if the water comes in warm, it turns red. If the water comes in cold, it turns blue. And if it's lukewarm,
yeah, because in case you can't feel it, it's nice to be able to see it.
I don't know, whatever. And if it comes in lukewarm, it's green. I don't know. So I was like, oh, this is kind of ill. So I'm just like, you know, I was kind of like probably in an alternative state when I did it. I was messing with the lights or whatever, you know what I mean? Showers going crazy. I'm like, oh, this is kind of ill. So I snapped it. Like, yo, new shower head's kind of fleeky. I used the word fleeky.
You really put yourself out there.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yo, shower's kind of fleeky. I'm kind of rocking with it. Not thinking none of it.
1994, no. He'd be so mad at you. Yo, yo. He would be so upset with you for that.
Yo, so I see these dudes, see Eric and Jeff, days later at, what was it, the No Malice joint?
Yeah.
At the No Malice dock. And they're like, yo, how's a shower head?
It's just like, you know, a normal thing that friends ask. How's your shower head?
Yo. And I'm looking at it the same way when you brought up the experimental shower head, whatever thing. I was like, huh? It's the same kind of response. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yo.
We just came and saw this powerful doc. He's asking me about a shower head.
We saw this powerful documentary based on No Malice's, like, transition from, like, street rapper,
cocaine pusher,
man of God.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for real.
And the documentary is probably like a half an hour or something like that.
I don't know. It felt like way longer.
You walked in late. Yeah. I was late as a mother. That's why it was a half an hour. That doc was like 2 hours, man.
Nah, it wasn't 2 hours.
It was an hour and a half.
It was less than an hour. It just felt like two hours.
Wait,
yeah, because
were you there?
So, yeah, I was there.
Nah, he was. But I didn't stay for the Q&A.
Yeah.
There was no service.
All right, be honest, because I know what Nod's answer is. Did you sleep during the documentary?
No, I didn't. I was actually part of why I wanted to leave the Q&A was because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's and a real like, live. I think he might be a bigger Clips fanboy than a Drake fanboy.
No, yeah. I started with the Clips from when they. It was just watching that and like listening to what Malice had to say about his journey.
He's still Malice to you. Yeah.
Right. Excuse me, no Malice. Gene was saying. It was one thing to listen to that and also the type of music that Pusha still makes.
Yeah.
And it's like, he can't even be around somebody playing Young Jeezy and your own brother.
Oh, that was the best scene.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where they were in the studio.
Yeah, and he was telling family, yo, you playing that energy.
Playing that craziness.
I can't even be around
so
you when
you're
playing.
So just, you know, that dynamic. And, you know, when you hear, like, every time you hear him talk about his brother, it was just so deep. And I was like, man, this is a lot. Yeah, it was a lot for me.
You were just like, fuck it. Get out of here. Yeah.
Now, he was personally affected by it. So he had to actually
leave.
Absolutely. But, like, no, these dudes, to bring it back to the shower.
If we can just talk about the shower.
These dudes brought the shower head up in the middle of a conversation. And I'm looking at him like, yo, why are you doing this? And they had to snap. I'm about to snap this long. See, this is why I'm heavy on the snap, because I'm thinking like, yo, anybody going to see it 24 hours.
Right,
it's snap gone by now.
No.
Man, he pulls out the snap. Literally like the snap. You know how the thing fills up like by like how much it's
right,
remaining?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about a smidgen. There was a smidgen left on the snap.
So close to being gone.
It was about to be gone. And then Eric pulls it up like, yeah, it's right here. Boom. Yeah. In front of everybody, a whole circle. And I just felt like whack,
yo.
And
by the way, your camera is so whack.
No, man.
That's how it is. I think it might be some kind of programming.
Don't say it.
I think they do it on purpose.
You think because
like
Android.
Somehow, yeah, to that, make the Android feed just look weak on your phone. It's gotta be.
My camera, when I look on my Snap, my feed, my camera quality is no different than anybody else's quality. And I have a pretty dope phone. Yeah, my phone is dope, actually. My phone is banging.
Yeah, you're getting real loud about this.
My phone is because I'm constantly trying to defend myself. I'm an early adopter. I was one of the first Droid guys. I was on it before it was. I think it's cool.
Are you holding on to it now just because?
I don't like iPhone. I don't own an iPhone. I don't own a MacBook.
Did you ever have an iPod?
Yo, turn this mic off.
IPod.
Turn this mic off.
I got an iPod. I had to get an iPod because iPod, they cornered that game. It was right. Like, yo, you want the best? Like,
you didn't
want
to get a Zune?
No, I didn't get a Zune. You know what? I had a mini displayer, though.
Oh, yeah.
I had a mini displayer.
That was kind of fly.
The girl's kind of feeling that, a mini displayer.
I had a mini display. Yeah, because size doesn't matter.
Well, obviously, we do everything for women. So, you know what I'm saying? Everything.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm on this podcast for women.
Yo, so for all the women out there, can you tell them? Because you haven't told anybody. You haven't put it on Twitter.
What's this? You haven't
even told us, like, off mic, what happened in Toronto.
Oh, damn. Oh, man. A lot.
All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend. We went out there for All-Star Weekends, me and my boys, man. Shout out to Rel. Shout out to Jerry. You know, shout out to Arthur once again. You know what I mean? We all went out there. 3 days, Toronto. It was pretty crazy. It was really, really dope. Toronto's a beautiful city, beautiful people.
You drive up?
No, we flew up. We flew there. WestJet.
Any problems at the border?
None.
You have to leave any guys behind.
No problem. No problem. We flew there easily. It was an hour flight. I actually got kind of hammered with some old lady. Some old lady was next to me, and they were offering drinks and wines and spirits or whatever. And I got like a ginger ale at first. I'm like, I'm gonna get a ginger ale, whatever.
Right, low
key. And she ordered. She was like, yo, let me get a red wine. And she bodied the whole bottle, like a little mini bottle.
This lady had to be full-bodied red.
Yo, she had to be like 80 years old. She just bodied it, and I'm like, kind of felt the way. I'm like, yo, let me get one of those too. Body that. So yo, we flew in great. You know what I'm saying? We was on the same flight. You might be mad, but we were on the same flight as Envy, DJ.
Ooh,
Envy.
Okay.
So that was a shout out to Envy.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him.
Queens.
So, yeah, Queens. She went to the same high school as this kid.
He's a prep.
You know what I'm saying? He probably would appreciate that.
From what I understand, he might have I'm putting this guy's whole business out there. But he might have went to our middle school, too. This is a Catholic school called St. Joachim and Anne in Queens Village. Shout out to the Ville, man.
They got a shrine to Envy out there at your high school, don't they?
Well, it's not a shrine. The Hall of Legends. We actually have a Hall of Fame. A Wall of Fame,
Wall
excuse
of Fame,
me.
Yeah.
And actual, like, legends. Vince Lombardi, Joe Torre.
Yeah.
He's a
Envy's a fucking legend. Envy's
he's
a legend,
earned his stripes,
sure.
I'm just saying, like, you go to
you
the
ever
school.
Heard, you ever heard like, Empire Strikes Back mixtape?
Of course.
All right.
So yeah, so these dudes, like all of the most famous alumni of St. Francis
ever
Prep on the Wall of Fame, and I think recently it was either this year or last year, Envy got inducted. So Vince Lombardi, Joe Torre.
Did you go to the ceremony?
No, I didn't. That invite got lost in the mail somehow.
Yo, so yeah, so we landed Toronto, no problem at the board or nothing. But they say like it's easier to get into Toronto than out of it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Insert. I'm waiting for the It's the Real joke somewhere.
No, you got to fall off.
All right, so we're partying, doing it up, whatever. When it's time to get back, everything's all cool. Everything's whatever. We show up at the airport like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We're going back home. It's gonna be an hour. Grammy's about to be on. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I had a great weekend. I'm riding a high. They're like, yo, it's a slight delay. There's some snow or there's some sleet or whatever's going on back home. So it's a slight delay, hour delay. They're like, all right, get on the plane after the delay. I knew something was going to go awry when I saw my seating arrangement and who I was sitting next to. So, like, there was, like, a hood rat chick. there was a hood rat. I'm talking about, like, a hood rat from my block. Like, damn, man. Oh, and I'm out there in Bed-Stuy. I'm on Gates.
It was just a bad omen.
Yeah, I just saw this hood rat.
Like a
just
black hit, bird.
Just a bird. Straight up bird.
She is a bird.
No, straight bird. And she was, like, in the corner asleep already, knocked out. I'm like, how's she sleep already? We're boarding. Right. So anyway, and there's a Hasidic Jewish dude praying.
Wow.
Right next to us, praying.
You got all the Brooklyn
that's
right here.
So
yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, all right, no doubt. So I'm like, yo, this the energy felt off the rip. So I sit down, whatever. It's pouring outside. We're just on the plane. We're on the plane for like an hour before we take off. So I'm like, damn. I had like La Bamba flashbacks. I'm like, yo, this doesn't feel right. So we finally take off. We're flying. It takes about an hour and a half to get there. So we're flying, and they're like, yo, we've arrived at LaGuardia. Everybody prepare for, you know, for descension or whatever. But we're not descending. We're still flying. We're flying around LaGuardia.
You're hovering.
We're hovering around.
Preparing to descend.
Huh? Yeah, preparing to descend.
You've mentally prepared. Yeah,
I'm like, yo, we here. I'm ready.
Back home.
We flying around LaGuardia, flying around. Like 20 minutes pass, 30 minutes pass, 40 minutes pass. We're just flying around. The guy checks in every couple minutes, the pilot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, we should be descending soon. You guys, you know, hold tight.
Mind you, it took only an hour to get to New York.
Yo, for real. That was a 2-hour flight. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, we have enough gas to just hang out here. So we're going to use it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like gas talk in midair.
Yeah.
So it's like another 10 minutes past. So it's like 45 minutes to an hour in air. And he's like, yo, so it looks like we're not going to be able to land. So we're looking to try to land somewhere locally, somewhere close by. Maybe like Philly or whatever.
Maybe Newark.
Yeah. Maybe Newark.
Somewhere real close by, like Philly. Yeah. Just so a quick 2-hour drive.
I'll take it. So we don't land. The guy gets on the horn. He's like, so ladies and gentlemen, sorry to say this to you guys, but we got to head back to Toronto.
That's incredible.
I'm like, yo, I'm sitting there. Meanwhile, the Jewish dude next to me has been praying the whole ride.
By the way, didn't work.
Praying the whole ride. I have like an hour strong, hour and a half of prayer and of straight worship. I'm like, yo, he's dedicated. So, like, we're going back to Toronto. By then, I'm like, yo, what's going on? I just feel the whole jet flip and just warp speed. I'm talking about warp speed through, like Enterprise. You know what I'm saying? Like warp speed. I never felt a plane move that fast. And we got back to Toronto quicker than we got to New York.
Wow.
So we flew back to Toronto. I'm wrapping my head around what just happened.
It's incredible. It's like
the commissioner calling your name at the draft.
Right.
It's actually like Steve Harvey announcing that you won Miss Universe.
And then, you know what I mean?
That's what the whole thing felt like. So I'm
sorry.
Like, yo, so
Miss Filipino.
We were there, yo. And so I'm kind of like getting my thoughts together. They hand me the declaration paper. You know the paper when you get off the right. You have to declare.
Of course.
Were you like I never left?
We never got off. We're still in the air. We never landed. Just use the paper that I used last time. Whatever you got to do. They're like, yo, nah, you got to fill this out. We land. I fill it out again. We go back. We get reprocessed. Mind you, we never left. We technically never left Canada. We got reprocessed and everything. Like they screen me, ask me questions.
Wow.
I'm looking at the lady like dog.
Do you not know what just happened?
I just. So went through that whole ordeal. They gave us like cards for like 20% off the local like Roach Motel.
Oh, great!
I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are not like, all right. First of all, they told us our flight's canceled. Like, so we got to stay in Toronto for another night. And then they offer 20% off at some Roach Motel.
20% off.
20% off.
That's the voucher.
This is 20% off, by the way.
Yeah. I know. It gets better though. It gets better. So
what airline is this?
WestJet. WestJet.
WestJet.
I flew it going there. WestJet's pretty much like the Canadian version of JetBlue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that bad. It's not bad at all. You know what I'm saying?
Well, JetBlue is one of our...
Yeah. It wasn't that bad. But, so it's WestJet.
Shout out to JetBlue if you guys want to sponsor the pod.
definitely. Blue points all around. So we're like, they're like, yo, get on the horn, call customer service, find out where your new flight dates are or your new flight times are or whatever. And I'm like, damn, this is not good. So me and my roommate, my other man, who we didn't make his flight, he was supposed to fly after us. He didn't get on the flight. So he was going to be stranded there regardless. So we all link up at the terminal and we're like, yo, damn, what are we going to do? We all get emails at the same time like, yo, your flight's been rescheduled for Wednesday. Mind you, it's Monday.
Wow.
I'm like, yo, what if I had shit to do? Like, go to work. You know what I'm saying? So it got rescheduled to Wednesday. And we're like, yo, dog, I can't stay until Wednesday, son. You know what I'm saying? Like we did those 3 days. We did to our bodies and our minds.
Right. Yeah, you gotta get home to that experience shower.
Before the shower. This is before the shower. So we're just like, dog, what are we gonna do? You know what I'm saying? My man Arthur, he's just like, man, yo, I gotta get back home, man. I don't give a fuck. So yo, he went. He rented a car. He rented a car, and he's like, I'm driving back.
I'm making it back.
He's
baby.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm looking at him like, yo, son, we can't. I'm like, dog, mind you, we've been up since 2 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? Actually, we didn't have no sleep. We didn't sleep the whole entire trip for the most part. Just been at it. So we've been up for like 3 days pretty much, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, yo, we driving back. I'm like, nah, son. Jerry's like, yo, we flying back, man. Fuck that, son.
Right.
So, and it, mind you, that was a winter storm. It was winter storm Olympus. That day or whatever.
I'm waiting for you to tell me that one of them died, by the way.
Yo, word. Shit that sounds like The Outsiders right now. So we all...
Sounds like Vietnam.
It's pouring outside. It's fucked up out there. We rented, like, I forget what it was, an Accord or no, an Altima or whatever. We jump in the Altima and we jump on the GPS and we just hit the GPS said we're going to get there 7.5 hours.
Jeez.
We got back home in 10 hours. Wow. We got back. We drove through a winter storm, small sleet, hail, snow, ice. Fam, we're doing 30, 40 miles an hour in Rock. Like, it took us 3 days just to get to Rochester.
Oh, my God.
We get there. I'm talking about trucks are turned over on their side. Oh, some ice road. Trucker shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Trucks are on their side. It's black outside. You can't see anything. We had to turn off the headlights because there was so much precipitation coming down. We couldn't see in front of us, so we had to like drive with the headlights off. And we're slipping and sliding, and there's no police out, and it's just darkness. We finally get the Buffalo. It kind of gets better, but not better. Slipping and sliding some more accidents. We got back to New York. We got to LaGuardia at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning next day. And then we had to, and when we got to LaGuardia, his car was parked up because we drove to the airport. His car was parked up, and we had to drive from LaGuardia home. We were stuck on the BQE for like another hour.
Wow!
No, we had to return the car. We had to return the rental, and then we had to jump in the rental, jump in his car, and then drive home. And we were stuck on the BQE for an hour.
Did you go to work?
Like, did you go? No, to I called. Nah, nah. I called out. I was delusional. I was delusional for like 2 days.
What'd they say?
I wasn't right for 2 days, man. I was off.
Yo, Toronto ruined you.
Nah, that whole I didn't drive. I stayed up the whole time, just watched, like, staying vigilant.
Because you're a good friend.
Yeah. I don't really like driving long distance. And weather was crazy. So while one dude would go to sleep, another one would drive, and I would just like keep him company or whatever. So yeah. I didn't sleep the whole entire trip. So I was up for days. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't go to work. I didn't go to work for like a day or two. You know what I'm saying? Just to get my mind right. Just know where I was, man. And like,
what happened to the girl who was sitting next to you on the plane?
The bird.
The one who lives in your
block. I don't know what happened to the hood rat.
She definitely stayed at a homeless shelter in Toronto.
I don't know what happened to the hood rat.
She went home with one of the ball players.
Probably went home with the Jewish dude. The Jewish dude actually used my phone to like, he asked to borrow my phone when we landed so he can call his wife. And he had like a full-blown convo on my phone, like 30 minutes.
That's wild.
What? He's like, can I borrow your phone? Call my
wife.
What
were you doing while he was talking on the phone? I'm just standing there.
I'm trying like, we're really back in Toronto. It's hitting me like, damn. So I'm like, I'm really back in Toronto right now. And this dude's just running up by minutes. And I'm like, I'm international right now. I'm like, I'm not, these aren't local minutes, dog.
Well,
like,
in fairness, this guy's cultural contacts. He hasn't updated the cultural norms of 2016.
He doesn't have a cell phone.
How would he know cell phone etiquette?
Yo.
Or borrowing.
I asked you to borrow your phone. You said, yeah. So I'm going to use your phone.
You know what's crazy? I bet he did have a phone.
He probably did.
Oh. And they wanted you do long distance.
Yeah.
Oh, to make it better, he bounces. He's like, yo, if my wife calls back, tell her I went to the bathroom.
That's incredible.
Yo, if my wife calls you, tell her I went to the bathroom. That's incredible. And I'll call her back. I'm like, yo, whatever, son. But yo, it was crazy, man. Like, I just actually got a refund from them on Sunday. I called
WestJet?
Because I took a month off. I didn't want to call them immediately after my trip because I would have made terrorist threats.
Yeah.
I would have made terrorist threats. I would have bombed on them. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, you know what? Let me step away from the situation. Come back a month later,
fresh,
clear-headed, fresh.
Have you been on a plane since?
No, man. No, are you, man.
I would be so terrified to, like,
it wasn't the
fly somewhere and then not land in the same place.
You know what it is? Don't go to Toronto in February.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
That sounds like a Drake song.
don't go to Toronto
in February.
Don't go to Toronto in February.
Oh,
that's all.
God.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, people were stuck out there for days.
Days.
Like, people were stuck. There was a blip. Because after, like, so we drove, and that blizzard we drove through, that just affected New York, but apparently there was a blizzard that came after us, like behind us, and that hit Toronto. So people that were supposed to leave Wednesday ended up leaving like Friday, Saturday. So I would have been stuck in Toronto for like an extra week. And it would have been late. I mean, people would have held me down regardless out there, whatever, but I was just ready to leave. I was just ready to get out of there. Like, I don't know what Toronto's hitting for after All-Star.
Right.
You can still go to, like, the Future Shop.
Yeah, I can still go
to Tim Hortons.
OVO shop was popping. Pop-up shop was popping. Toronto's a crazy city, beautiful city. Although I will say the male and female relations out there is really off.
I heard it's pretty warped.
It's really it's 1945 out there. It's Mad Men every day, all day out there.
Oh, the ratio.
No, just the relationship.
The male female sort of power dynamics out there, kind of
like it's just like
women don't work.
No, well, men talk to women however they want out there. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Reckless. Like, I heard a story. I was told a story by a friend. Like, it was All Star Weekend, how they were at a party and the bouncer, this chick was trying to get in, and the bouncer was like, "Yo, you too ugly to get in here,"
and made her
buy a bottle to get in the spot.
That's crazy.
And she bought a bottle. And she bought the bottle.
Yeah,
though.
It's a great sales tactic, apparently.
But she bought the bottle though. You know what I'm saying? But shit like that. It's like things like that. I was watching dudes curse women out. Women scared to speak up.
Yo,
but when they see you, it's all love. Like, you see another dude, they're like, "Yo, they know." Like, what up? Yo, you good?
Dude, they were nice.
Mad nice to the dudes.
It just
be like, yo, why are you looking at me in my eyes? Why you like really like pimp hand strong out there?
What kind they got, of yeah, backwards
it's,
nation is
it's
this?
It's crazy. And to think this is where Drake is from.
Yeah,
I know.
He might really be on some gorilla pimp shit. Right,
yo, watch, this your man?
Drake might actually be a bad guy.
Yeah,
all.
Toronto. And I mean, the racial's so crazy out there. I hear, like, I was talking to girls out there and they're like, yo, it's so crazy out they could do whatever they want pretty much. Like, the ratio's like 11 to 1.
Yeah.
So, like, you shit on a
if
couple
you
girls.
If tell a woman go fish, she might starve.
Yeah, yo.
It's tough.
It's tough out there, man.
How was it in 0 degree weather out there,
though? It wasn't that cold, man. Maybe because I overloaded on heat tech before I left. Yeah. Uniqlo had a heat tech sale and I dropped $70 on heat tech. Like the Haitian in me. Like my mom was like, I let
dropped the band.
Yo,
Uniqlo.
Yo, for real. Like, I let my mom cop for me or something. Like, I went in there, dropped $100 damn near on heat tech, and I was good, man. Like, as long as your face was covered, hands,
plus
the extremities
in fairness,
were covered.
Last All Star weekend was
just
freaking cold.
New York,
out
just
yeah,
as cold.
It was awful.
It might have been colder to me. I don't know.
So,
But no, it wasn't that bad, man. It was just Toronto was just a it's a dope city, man. We're going back for OVO Fest and Caravana and all that. We're flying WestJet, but this time around it's in the summer. The weather will be better.
You're still not gonna come home.
worry. If I don't come home, it'll be for other reasons. It won't be because of WestJet. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's my Toronto trip.
Oh my
man.
God.
It was a beautiful night, man.
So Waz, you just got back from Boston?
Yeah, I was at Boston, the mean streets of Boston.
Boston.
Boston, right. I was at a, what they call a Sloan Analytics Conference, which is MIT's
Nerdfest.
Don't let him fool you.
Simmons calls it the Dorkapalooza.
That's right.
It's like a bunch of dudes have panels and stuff and you know, just different basketball technology, different.
That sounds hot.
Ivy League dudes presenting like papers that they've done or whatever. But mostly, I went there because it's just.
You went there for the pussy. Yeah.
I was talking to one of my homies, Jade Hoy, who produces the podcast that I do. Shouts to the True Hoop
Wazcast.
Family.
Wazcast. Wazpod.
He was like, it's actually called Wazpod. He was like, this conference is very homogenous. I was like, yeah, a lot of white dudes, you know, so it was like cool, Boston. But it was a dope opportunity to
meet.
You
get tired of talking about the 3-point shot, like, you know.
Well, no, you know, mostly what I talked about is like I meet dudes that like I actually read their work and like reputable dudes, right? And I'm like, hi, I'm Waz, and they're like, Waz, yo, what? I'm like,
crazy.
Yo, that's like
that's
insane, you know what I'm saying?
Because you're not a reputable guy.
I wouldn't say that anyway. I wouldn't call myself reputable. But, you know, a lot of people whose, like, actual work I respected. Then we conducted a couple of interviews. We had Shane Battier, Sue Bird, Coach Tibbs. I'm forgetting a couple of people. But it was, yeah, we got a couple of interviews in. I met a couple of people, rubbed some shoulders. You know, it's always interesting when you meet people in real life, you know, that you've only interacted with on Twitter.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, wow. It's like, you're a real person, flesh and bone. So, you know, it was cool. And then besides that, I hit a couple of places in Boston, did the social thing out there, which is
social thing.
Always
sloppy, blackout
drunk. It's always an interesting experience whenever you leave New York and you sort of see how the other side lives.
So did you fuck up your wrist at the conference or at the bars?
No, this happened a few weeks ago. It's not even my wrist, it's my thumb. This is not even a fun story. My thumb has been messed up for like
working
months
out.
Now.
Working
and
out.
I thought it would yes.
From working out.
And I thought it would heal on its own. But it didn't, so I finally went to the orthopedic, and he just basically said I had tendonitis.
He's been turning up with that power glove, Nintendo power glove.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gone. To me, it's more important that I get my thumb back in order, you know, for various reasons than looking cool when I go out. So
do you get more hoes because of that?
No, women don't care. They don't ask you. They don't care. No,
they don't want to know the details.
No, they're just like, oh, what happened to your wrist? Nothing.
Coach Tibbs talk about it?
No, like, I actually, when I was at the
Tibbs
conference,
try to play him. Tibbs try to give him more minutes.
I didn't wear it to the conference, but
oh, you want it to look cool?
Nah, not even. It's just bulky and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was carrying stuff. But I asked Tibbs about the Knicks job, the Knicks opening, and he just laughed. He didn't say yes. No, he just laughed.
What kind of laugh was it, though?
It was like a hearty laugh.
Okay. Like, it seemed like a really sad laugh.
From the belly.
No,
from
it was
the belly.
Like, yeah, so.
Yo, but speaking of the Knicks job, though, the old.
Oh, God.
New York Knicks coach, Derek Fisher.
I actually, Ramona.
Herb Williams?
Yeah, right.
Mike D'Antoni?
I actually read Ramona Shelburne, who is like one of ESPN's LA people. She's really plugged in out there. She wrote a story about Phil and his plans for the future that came out, I think, today, this morning.
Yeah.
And one of the things she addressed was the Derek Fisher situation. There were details that I didn't really know.
Trick God.
Like, the Knicks are still playing?
Well, one, the guy, he went to L.A. He didn't tell anybody from the team.
Oh, and he took Dolan's
it
jet.
He chartered a jet, but
I don't think it was
Dolan's jet.
He didn't pay for it.
I don't think it was Dolan's jet, but
he needs that West jet, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he went to New York. He went to LA for 2 days, allegedly to see his kids and, you know, his woman or whatever, who happened to be Matt Barnes' old wife.
Right.
But
and so, hey, she's a good woman, a good parent.
Yeah, I'm sure she's amazing.
I don't know anything about her.
I can't say either way.
Yeah, I can't deny.
But so the guy, he didn't inform the team, which if anybody, like, people, for those people who don't know, like, this is not normal, right? Like, Derek Fisher, this is only his second season removed from being a player. So, obviously, he's not out of the player sort of mentality. Where it's like, oh, I might fly out or I might fly somebody in for these 2 days that I'm off. So, he flies to L.A.
Dirty, sir.
He gets into the situation with Matt Barnes. I'm assuming he wasn't planning on pressing charges. But his charter... had a maintenance issue, so they had to land in Las Vegas, and that's the only. And because he wasn't going to make it to the Knicks practice in time on Monday, that's why he informed the team.
Oh my god!
And then he had to tell them all of this other stuff. So it was just like,
yo,
this is even worse than I had originally thought. Like, at least if you, I thought maybe he told the team and he just lied to him. Was just like, yeah, I'm going to see my kids. You know, somebody sick. Nah. You know, when you would tell your teacher like, yo, my grandmother died or whatever. Yeah. Like, I thought
I never used that extreme. Yeah. Like an excuse? I never used that extreme.
But I thought that's what D. Fish was doing. But no, he just basically snuck off to L.A.
For some ass.
Yeah.
His head coach of a professional basketball team.
Head coach.
Yeah. Right. Right. But, you know, and when it got reported at the time, I remember saying, and I said this on the record, I was like, this is a fireable offense. And it's not because... Oh, you know, you're leaving training camp to go hang out with
a joint.
With your woman.
With the joint.
Okay,
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's the one. Two, the reason why this Matt Barnes thing is so weird to me is because one, they used to play with each other.
Right.
Not like, oh, you were a fellow NBA player. We were teammates.
Tony Parker and Brent Barry used to play with each other.
You've broken bread at his house.
What that mean? What that
you
mean?
Met her.
Is that what
him?
They perfect. Call it now?
Yeah. Right.
What that mean?
Yeah. So
to a dirty Mac.
Right. And for me, if when you're put in a authority position, the standards now change. You're held to a higher standard because you now tell players what to do.
Right.
So you can't sit around and tell, you know, J.R. Smith, hey, I need you to do this. He's not on the team anymore. Melo, like, hey, I need you to do this. He's like, yo. But you're still talking to my man's ex-wife.
All right, roll your
the
eye.
The ink hasn't even dried on a divorce yet, and you're in this man's crib already,
dirty.
Right?
Yeah.
And, of course, another the beginning of the season, Tim Hardaway Jr. came to town. And a reporter asked, this man had to address
We got a Tim Hardaway Sr. story, too, by
right.
the way.
This man had to address a rumor about whether Derek Fisher, his ex-coach, was dating his current girlfriend before him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. This was beginning of the season.
Spilling NBA tea right now. Yeah.
Well, this was reported by the New York Daily News. We're not breaking news here.
Yeah.
New York Daily News reported. This is just, you know, because this is New York. That's not
page
a big
six,
story
this is
out
like
here.
Page six type stuff.
It's
though,
not
right?
a big
this
enough
is
story.
Lipstick
it's
Alley.
Like,
Lipstick Alley, for
it's
real.
Like, damn. Where there's smoke, you know, there's fire. And it's like, you don't want a coach where your players are worrying if
he's gonna cut your joint,
or if you know if Derek Fish is following your girl on Snapchat. It's like
crazy.
This just can't be. So you know, obviously he hasn't sort of let go of his player lifestyle, and I don't mean like a player,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean like an NBA player.
But really, he's a player.
Know, whatever. He got $10-15 million for his trouble, so I'm not gonna feel bad for the dude. But
so you read that at the time, right? Early when that Tim Hardaway.
I sort of remember something about Tim Hardaway talking about his girlfriend, but because you know Tim Hardaway is a marginal NBA player, the Knicks are a marginal NBA team. I didn't really pay it that much attention. That kind of thing wouldn't be on my radar. Like, if I see Tim Hardaway's name pop up on my Twitter, it's not going to come up. And nobody picked it up. Like, ESPN, Yahoo, nobody really picked up that story.
Right.
It was just this one-off where, I forget the name of the reporter, somebody asked him,
"Yeah,
yo, we heard your girl used to go with Derek Fisher before she was going with you."
Crazy. Mm.
And he was like,
traded?
And this is what he said. Tim Hardaway essentially said, "I heard about the rumor. I asked my girl and it ain't true." And I was like, when they talk about distractions, you know, they throw that word out in the media all the time. Distractions. This is a distraction.
Yo.
This is a distraction. And I'm talking about for current players where, you know, you go to Langston Galloway shows up to practice. He's working hard every day.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think that he doesn't look at D. Fish and like, Man, I don't care what this
dude
has to say.
You liking my girl's pics right now.
Right.
Yeah, you're on the sideline liking pics.
Screen capping. Yo. We know you. We know your ways, bro. So, I don't know. And people ask if, you know, if this is going to be like the end of D. Fish in the NBA. I don't think so.
Nah, right.
He's definitely, but he's also got his reputation during his stint as Players Union union rep and president. Not Sterling.
Not clean,
right.
Yeah.
But wasn't it also like Cle Anthony Early, like his girl was like rumored to be involved in that too? Where they all dated the same girl, something like that?
I see. That's another thing that
he likes some young.
There was a Cle Anthony Early angle, you know, and the Knicks has had such a weird season off the court because Derek Williams got robbed by some women that he brought back from the club. Cle Anthony Early got shot.
Got some Brooklyn scandals.
How come Derek Fisher isn't messing around with the two women that robbed
robbed Derek?
Yeah, but D-Fish obviously likes some pre-screen.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, my ex-teammate actually thought enough of her to marry her.
Yeah, I
so
want that.
So that means she's a reputable woman.
It's not a bad move. You got to be a particular kind of dude to pull it, though. I wouldn't do it, but I'm saying, like,
this is the thing.
You respect it.
I kind of respect it.
I can't respect it because
you got to understand these dudes share chicks all the time.
Yeah,
your homie can't get them.
Yeah, the question is,
head coach can't.
Yeah,
look, this is my thing.
Brent Barry, Tony Parker. I will always bring that. I mean, I always bring that up, and I think they were swinging. By the way,
that's a rumor.
That was the rumor.
Tony Parker had some kind of dealings with Bones Barry's wife.
Right.
They've never been substantiated. She's publicly denied it. We don't know how
she is. If you want to come on the podcast and clear this up.
So, you know. Yeah, but no, what I was going to say is these guys, it's not like they're living a lifestyle where they're going to meet doctors and lawyers. When they come to a city, what they do is they go to clubs or they go to a strip club.
If they can't meet doctors and lawyers, who the fuck can?
Well, their social sort of circles don't allow for
that. That's a cop out. They're million dollar men in a billion dollar enterprise, in a billion dollar situation. Like, I don't. Derek Fisher can't meet a dope lawyer, a freaky lawyer.
Yeah,
Derek
Fisher can't go on Tinder like the rest of us.
Like, I mean, supposed to meet a hot ass lawyer. Me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Other hot lawyers. You understand what I'm saying? Like that's the social environment.
That's
that
what they attract.
In.
They track hoes. Like real live hoes.
What? For lack of a better word,
a slut walk in the building right now. Like, why you acting like?
Listen.
Acting like Amber Rose is in the corner.
Listen. I've grown. I've evolved.
Okay, yo.
When it comes to that word,
all I know,
like hoes.
All I know is you're like no malice now.
I've evolved.
All I know is that Waz was shouted out by the big lead.
Yes. Yeah. That was surreal.
What was this?
That was okay. So we did a podcast, myself, Brian Windhorse, I think Kevin Arnovitz was on the podcast as well. And we started, Arnovitz was on it, and Ethan Sherwood Strauss. The Derek Fisher thing came up,
right?
And I said, Ethan, remember in an earlier pod in the summer, I said I thought this was a fireable offense. This is right after D. Fish got fired. And, you know, throughout people's reportings, they were like, a huge part of it was this Matt Barnes incident. And I was like, didn't I tell you? Right? And Windhorse chimed in. And, you know, obviously Brian is one of the most plugged in NBA people out there.
Right.
And he's like, these things have sort of been floating around for a while now. And he brought up the Tim Hardaway Jr. thing. And again, it hadn't been picked up by the big media sites. And so the big league was like, whoa, we don't remember this Tim Hardaway situation. And that's when he said Windhorn. That's when he was like, ESPN contributor, Big Waz.
No way. Yeah. Oh.
In the story,
amazing.
which is hilarious
big
to just
Waz?
Read that. Like a blog that I read, it's like, wow, that's hilarious. You know,
they cited you.
Yeah, and I felt bad because
you snitched.
Well, no, I didn't snitch, but it was like
Alpo, big Alpo,
because Brian went out on a limb. Because you know these guys are like real reporters, right?
Yeah, right.
Like they're not allowed to just go on some podcast and speak publicly about things that haven't been completely substantiated yet.
Right.
Brian was just talking. He was like, "This is not." He wasn't like on his fact finding mission mode. He was just talking, and it was basically off of an alley-oop that I gave him. So I felt kind of bad about that. But if you go back to the link, they did an update on the story, and they were like, actually, the Daily News reported this at the time. So
We saw you at – Jeff and I DJed at Irving Plaza, and we saw you that night, and it was like right after the big lead story.
Right.
And I was like, yo, what happens if Derek Fisher runs up on you? And you were like, fuck D-Fish.
Well, look, this is the thing. Like,
you don't catch his hands. Like anybody else.
Derek Fisher, it's like, you know, I don't know the guy personally. But, like, you know, as somebody who actually, like, wouldn't mind seeing a successful New York Knicks basketball situation, I don't think he's done anything to help that.
Right.
Right.
What? Have you seen the Knicks in the playoffs the last 2 years?
Right. No, I haven't. And, you know, that's sort of the point. But, you know, it's not like, oh, I hate Derek Fisher. Nah. Just the guy is just...
He got to get his priorities
in order. Yeah, he got to get his priorities
in order. But has there been a better name drop than Kanye talking about that Matt Barnes situation?
That was incredible.
Oh, yeah. On what song was that?
It's
30 Hours.
30 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Nah. Drove 90 miles.
Yeah.
I feel like Wiz can bring up some, like, Drake lyric that's way better.
No, well, you know, whenever these kind of things happen, in my head, I'm like, I know Joe Budden's going to be the first person to say
he's the master.
He's the master.
I used to look forward to the one. When I was a big Joe Budden fan, like, from, like, what? Oh. I'm gonna say like 03, 04. I'm gonna say 02.
The beginning.
Yeah. To about 15, 16.
When
Joe Budden
I can tell you the day I stopped being a Joe Budden fan. He did a Joe Budden TV episode titled "Tahiri Buys Her First Benz."
I was feeling
that. No, this is just.
They should have got a television show early in the game. Ridiculous. I don't know why they didn't.
He was on that wave early,
though. You got to give him that credit. He turned like. Before it was Joe Budden, it was just like the mixtape guy, lyrics, bars. But he actually turned into a personality off the strength of the. I mean, he interviewed Drake. I mean, one of the first Drake interviews was Joe Budden TV, which was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, and also, fun fact, a lot of people don't know about I'm in the Joe Budden Pump It Up video.
Yes, I knew
you
that.
You can't find me, though.
Why not?
Because I'm deep in the cut. But I'm there.
Like,
Nod
won't let you. I won't let you know,
but I'm there. Yeah.
People should really, like, go search for that.
You can search all you want. You're not going to find
it. If there are any Reddit users, listeners, shop it to Reddit. Workshop it.
But it's in one of, like, the crowd scenes. Like, is DJ Enough?
DJ Enough is in the scenes. It's like Clue, Envy. That was actually the weekend I decided, I got to move to New York.
Envy from Queens?
Yeah, Queens Village.
Wait, just a quick Queens Village tangent. I just gotta go off the list. DJ Envy, DJ Who Kid, Sha Money, Irv Gotti, DJ Clue, Steve Stout. I mean, the list of legends goes on.
Luminaries.
And of course,
I think you said Clue twice, by the way.
And of course, you know, Ja Rule and Stephen A. Smith, these are Hollis guys who are basically, you know.
So, yeah, I was about to ask you that. Can Queens Village claim Hollis dudes?
We can't. No, you can't really
claim
them.
You can't claim. Yeah, you kind of
not in
with
good
that.
Conscience. You can't really do it because.
But it's so close to each
it's
other.
It's the next.
Next
the,
stop on the LIRR.
It's the. It's when like you cross Hollis. France, we're getting deep cuts here, Queen stuff. But when you cross Francis Lewis Boulevard and Hollis Avenue, Francis Lewis basically is the divider of the Queens Village Hollis border. Mm. So, right across Francis Lewis is where Hollis
Donald
starts.
Trump grew up.
Right.
So if you meet Russell Simmons one day, you're going to say, I'm from
Queens Village. He's going to know what time it is. Exactly. He's going to know exactly what time
Queens
it is.
Queens is a crazy place, man. I didn't realize how kind of crazy it was until I started, like, visiting when you moved out there.
They say that Queens is the new Brooklyn.
Word?
No.
Queens is
not
the new Brooklyn.
Nah, Jamaica. I heard Jamaica's about to catch the gentrification train.
Astoria's already.
Yeah, Astoria's already there, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about Astoria is, like, they're actual white working class families, so it's a little harder to kick them out.
It's better, you can't really.
So,
opposed to the projects.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, there's a huge yuppie population in Astoria, for sure.
Can we talk about hate on Twitter?
I mean, what's wrong with it?
You know, man, you know what I had to realize, you know, and it took me a while, that a lot of the what we call hate is performative, right?
Yeah. Oh, for
or
sure.
What we call trolling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like people are exercising their fandom in a way that's just like, you know, they're trying to elicit a reaction. They're trying to, you know, emote a certain thing. They're actually thinking about it and doing it.
Hell yeah.
It.
Right. It's all prep before.
So a lot of this stuff is fake. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this stuff is like, you know, I'm one of the few people on Twitter who will say anything critical about Kendrick Lamar, right?
Right.
Oh. But like this idea that like if I met the guy, I would be like, "Yo, Kendrick, you're dope." Right? Idea that I wouldn't default to pure just cornball in the guy's presence, like that I actually have any kind of, you know, distaste for anything that he does is just silly. A lot of it is just, you know, you like getting your little digs off online, so that's what people do. But I, you know,
so that's how you take it when people come after you too.
Okay, so like with basketball stuff, when people don't come at me with rap stuff because rap is just whatever. But with basketball stuff, it's like most of the people that come at you are just pure fans.
Yeah, fanatical.
Like these are people that actually think these players are in their family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like these
care
are
about them,
irrational, illogical people. Yeah. So I don't I don't get.
That's the way that you like tear them down by saying that they're crazy.
Well, yeah, for the most part. Fans,
you're like, you know, they must be wrong because their thoughts are just
it's not even
in a different universe.
It's not even wrong. It's like, you know, right now I'm in a thing with a bunch of Spurs fans. Like, Spurs fans, I'm public enemy number one in a huge, you know, population of Twitter Spurs fans. But, you know, somebody would tweet me something like, "Oh, they just don't like us because we're excellent." I'm like, no, I said that the Warriors would whoop that ass. Yeah. And when y'all played the Warriors, y'all lost by 30. Yeah. It wasn't about your past excellence or anything like that. I said how I felt and why I felt it. It wasn't, you know, some kind of malice. Like, these people actually
No malice
whatsoever. But these people actually think that you have a vested interest, like, as if I wake up in the morning like, "God, I hope Tim Duncan misses his next three layups." Like, it's not like that. But as far as rap is concerned, the only people I engage are people that I actually like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And who, even if I don't agree with you, that's why I'm engaging you, because I actually respect your opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with us disagreeing because it'll be interesting to hear what you actually have to say.
But do you think that, do you hope that Kendrick Lamar misses his next three layups?
Absolutely. I hope he missed. Like, you know, it's like if you say something critical about J. Cole and the people that are responding to you and calling you an idiot have Dreamville banners in their profile and hashtag Dreamville. All it's like, bro, we don't need to engage. This is the, like, we know where you stand no matter what it is. Right. So it's about just understanding your audience, you know, for the most part, or who's engaging you back. There's certain people, like, you can hit me up and, you know, once I see TDE in your profile, there's nothing for us to really discuss here.
Right. Yeah, I stopped arguing about rap music on Twitter maybe like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody wins. It's like all these characters are spent, all this time is spent. I didn't get any new followers. you ain't getting no chicks off of it. I'm not getting no looks off of it. Who wins at the end of the day? Nobody wins. So I just ignore you.
Yeah, what was the big change between keeping your account private and making it public?
I don't know, man. I just stopped caring. If it was a work thing at first, you know what I'm saying? I was really paranoid about, like, you know, because at the time it was just a new world, it was a new frontier, like Twitter, like, you know what I'm saying? It was a whole new world.
It was the Wild Wild West. 2009 was.
Yo, it was crazy. A lot of people didn't make it out of 2009.
A lot of people quit.
A lot of people did not make it out that firestorm.
It's crazy.
A lot of things were said. You know what I mean? It was a really, really fun time.
Do you remember Twitter After Dark?
I remember that was insane. I remember Twitter. Remember when they used to do To Catch a Predator every Sunday?
We used to, as a community,
watch To Catch a Predator. So
now we watch OJ, which I guess is the same thing.
Now they watch Empire. Anybody still watch that?
I don't think so.
I don't watch Empire.
Yeah. But the second season, kinda.
I think so, first
season kind of.
So like I don't know, man. It was just like, yo, I was like, yo, what am I hiding at this point? You know what I'm saying? Who cares? At this point, like, I was kind of like profiled. I was like in all types of like Twitter lists on like Complex and Hip Hop Wired. And like, I'm like, yo, if they gonna find me, they're gonna find me. Like, and it's nothing I'm not saying on here that I'm not saying real.
There were people who would take your tweet and manually retweet it.
And manually retweet them. And they did this for years. Like, if my account was unlocked, like when we first jumped off and all that, I'd probably have like 70,000, 80,000 verified.
You'd be on the Jagged Fly Jones level. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God. Black Twitter celeb.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, I kept it lock and key because I was just so paranoid about my real life. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, but I just stopped caring. Like, whatever.
I feel like it's a bitch to like approve every single person that wants to follow
you. Oh, it's another thing. It was a point. See, I was in a relationship back then too. So I was paranoid about that, like who followed me, who didn't follow me. That was one thing.
Did she follow you?
She did follow me.
Okay.
She did follow me.
You allowed that.
Yeah, I allowed that. Whatever. We kind of got cool, but we like ended up getting cool through Twitter. So,
gotcha.
Like, you know what I mean? But it's one of those cases. But it was just a better way to like, I never liked the whole idea about like somebody could just follow me off the rip and I couldn't never control that. Like, yo, such and such is followed and you can't do nothing about it. The only way I could control the influx of people coming in and out was by blocking my account. And so I could see, oh, I don't like them in real life. Oh, I don't like what they stand for. I don't mess with you. Nah, too many dudes following. And I was able to cut people off at the path, you know what I'm saying? So at the pass,
you were the doorman. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the reasons why my account was
you
locked.
Were that bouncer who was like, yo, buy a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. You ugly at work, buy a bottle.
Yeah, get
you
know less ugly.
Yeah, yeah. So
do you guys block people?
Nah,
I've blocked
somebody before, but it's,
I might have blocked one or two people.
Yeah, but not because of like just because they probably just like, this,
no, because sometimes if it's like, dog, if you tweet me 10 times.
Yes, and I'm not saying anything. You, and
it's just, but you're making it hard for me to read people's stuff that I actually right. want to read. So it's like, you can say something mean or stupid to me, which is fine. But when it's like 30 in a row, yeah. it's like, all right, man, I got to block you. Because I don't really care. Yeah, like, yeah. I really don't care.
Because we have, like, real lives, and we're, like, right. dope people in real life.
Like so, you like, know, sometimes I want to be like, do you know what beef is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Seriously, like, a lot of these people don't know, like, I'm from a place where you really get punched
Queens.
In your face.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, yo, I see how people. You could tell who got punched in the face growing up and not
right, and who
by the tweet style. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't get punched in the face before. Like there's things I would never say in real life. I would never say on Twitter.
I can say, you know, though. I can say I've had one tweet that I wasn't proud of. This was like right after R. Kelly got acquitted.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And Drama did a Gangsta Grills with him.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, Drama, you really think people need a Gangsta Grills R. Kelly joint? And I say, go kill yourself. I told him to kill himself on Twitter. I'm not proud of that moment. But I was actually legitimately offended. Like, I was actually mad, right. you know?
That Drama did a Gangsta Grills R. Kelly.
Right, I was like, wow, like, really?
I mean, Jay-Z did albums with him, but this is after the acquittal. Right,
but no, but this was after, you know, remember when R. Kelly did the Torre interview? And
Torre was like, yo,
you ever think for young girls? And he was like, well, nah, 18. How young are we talking now? Yeah.
Like, and he inquired. I
was
like,
dude, that's a yes or no question. He said, I mean, nah, how young we talking now?
Yo.
I was like, okay, see, this is ridiculous. We have
it wasn't ridiculous when the tape was out, though, fam, and he was pissing on little girls?
Well, no, the tape was ridiculous.
All right. That's all I needed. I was like, yo, this is fucked up. Turn this off.
No, it was.
This dude's sick.
No, it was the tape happened, and then, but then. He put out a bunch of fire joints.
Yo, you have to separate. You have to.
Don't.
No, you do
separate.
Though.
No. I don't know that you have to.
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know that you have to, man.
When you're somewhere and the radio comes on and a Chris Brown song comes on, are you immediately turning it off?
Well, Chris Brown's one of his favorite artists.
Right?
Chris Brown is not one of my favorite artists, first of all.
Do you love Chris Brown?
I know.
Would you tell him
I love
him?
Man.
I don't even want to touch this subject because I was about to say something and it was like, it will open up a Pandora's box or whatever. But the R. Kelly thing, I understand, is really, really bad. It's really, really hard because this guy has 30 years of fire.
Fire.
Damn near 30 flames. Years of funk. You know what I'm saying?
When Heaven, I Need a Hug comes on.
Like, yo, flames.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, for instance, like today, like at work, on R. Kelly Nas, Did You Ever Think remix came on. Did you
fire.
Ever think that you
yeah.
were? And yeah. I was at my desk like,
oh.
Like, you know, I was vibing. And it was like, damn, son. But at the same time, do I go support him? Do I, you know what I mean? Do I go see him when he's in concert? I listen to his actively seek out his music and stuff like that? Every chance I get, I kind of shit on R. Kelly.
Yo, that Gangsta Grills was free though.
No, so. I didn't listen to that. I didn't listen to that. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, people do terrible things, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you know, time and time again, there's been examples of artists just being terrible people and disgusting individuals. You know what I'm saying? So, me personally, if an R. Kelly song comes on, it's a good song. Yeah, I'm gonna listen to back and forth and forth when it come on and all that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not gonna actively like promote the dude or pump him or even praise him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I feel like I forget to like where my moral code is.
Yeah.
I sort of like forget where it is. So like. Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, like I'm not gonna see like new Woody Allen movies or whatever.
I was about to bring him up too, yeah.
But
yeah.
like, I'll see the old ones. I'll laugh at bananas.
Enjoy it.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough, man. Like splitting those two people apart. But like, you can't turn a blind eye to that, dog.
Yeah,
like, I'm just as bad. I'm a piece of shit too if I do. You know what I'm saying?
The R. Kelly thing is like, because at the time, there's always this sort of, if you want to, you can be like, man, that's not him, or man, maybe it was a one-off.
It was too many examples. It was too many examples.
But then, you know, I forgot this dude out in Chicago.
He did the expose,
like,
right?
Oh my God.
And he interviewed like victims and their families.
Literally,
and he laid it
went
out.
Yeah. I was just like, this isn't even like, oh,
like it's a thing in Chicago. It's, like, it's known in Chicago.
Chicago
like,
that
this is what this dude
this
does,
what
and he pays people off.
About.
And like, this is just part of the culture almost
of
it's
what he did.
It's like 25, 30 years.
That he would pull up, you know, in his car to the high school to pick up chicks.
Grown man, like 30, in his 30s, 20s, whatever. Like, yo, think about the dude used to pull up at the high school with 22.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? This is a grown man, platinum artist. You know, influencer, everything.
Freshman year,
man.
I remember there was this girl who had a crush on. She was 14. I was 14.
Yeah. Oh, thank
and,
God.
Yeah. And she, I remember she told me she had a boyfriend. And I was like, she was like, yeah, he's 19. He's a mechanic.
Oh,
I just remember
God.
Like, yo, this
was
dude.
Was he Caribbean?
Was he nah, Caribbean? He was white. It was
oh,
white homie.
Oh, okay.
I was
sorry,
like, yo,
man.
This dude
Danny
has Bonifuco. A whip, has bread.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, it's over for you as a 14-year-old.
Did she have a
like,
dad?
Yes, no, she had both parents at home and all of that.
That's crazy.
But it was
man.
Like, you know, to think about that and now R. Kelly, right?
Yeah. Mm.
The level of influence you're
times
able to 30. Wield as a star.
Superstar.
Right.
I
oh,
can
yeah.
literally
with
like.
Actual money.
Yeah.
Right. Actual millions.
Not jets. Not mechanic
not
money.
Not mechanics. They're making some good money now.
Yeah.
But R. Kelly is like.
A different.
You know, I could take it. You know, when Drake said, I could take your parents to the motherland.
Mm.
Like,
he really means
he
that.
Really
yeah.
could
yeah.
do that.
It's like, exactly like Drake said.
Right, exactly. So it's like, man, no, that line always killed me because it's like,
it's
you know, this courting a woman. And then there's like, yo, I'm going to take your
draking
mom
a woman.
To Africa.
Yeah. Like, draking what? A woman. And she's
that
probably
like,
East African.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. Like, because the way black
you're not
people talk
fair.
About the motherland,
yeah.
you know, it's almost like a religious aspect
he's
to
doing
it,
it
right?
at a trick level.
So it's like, damn, Drake, you really
he
like
was, he's a
pulling out all the oh, stops.
Yeah. Come
it's
on,
incredible.
Man. He wore sweatpants in the work video, so
right.
you already know
yeah,
what he about.
He's not a kid.
You already know what he's about.
Did you see him up in Toronto?
No, I didn't. I was like, yo, I might run into this dude. You know what I'm saying? And I was like,
and Waz would be so mad.
And shout Waz out. But I actually like was running around with a couple of associates of his. You know what I'm saying? So they were showing love out there. But I didn't run.
Did
but
you
he had to see him smash though. Like,
oh,
he
sure.
had it. Yeah, yo, son. Like
the
I don't even know what
landed,
to compare it to.
Like billboards.
Yo,
right?
Yeah, billboards, views, billboards. Like I would go to like we had this Airbnb. One of my boys had an Airbnb. I was in the telly, whatever. And we go to Airbnb and like this magazines of Drake,
just laid out.
Laid out or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like this dude
catalogs.
I tried. I can't. There's nothing you really can compare it to. Like I was almost trying to compare it to my man's. Like yo, I guess this is what it was probably felt like when Jay was running Brooklyn or when
no.
Jay in Brooklyn. But it's nothing like that.
New York
it's like
is just,
it's
no.
like
no,
an entire country has just. Just aligned with this guy. Just
well,
behind
here's the
this
thing,
guy
like,
100%.
Before Toronto, I mean, before Drake, like, Toronto was what? Like,
it
what did
Shaq
you even
Claire,
think about?
It was,
yeah.
it was
Cardi.
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 It was what was my man? Socrates.
Yeah, but, like, as an American.
Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady.
It was Blame Canada. It was that. It was like a butt of a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Vince Carter is probably the first person, I think, that brought some validity. Cardinal and all those dudes brought right. some validity, too.
And then Vince took it right back.
And he bounced. Tracy McGrady bounced. They all bounced. But, like, with Drake did, son, like he's the president of he runs that country, son. Like there's nothing you can say more about it.
Did you
though.
Go to House of Tings?
No, I didn't go to. I learned about House of Tings like the night I was so son. Like I did not no industry anything out there.
Really,
we just did.
You had two opportunities to,
to meet Drake.
yeah,
nah. Like I've worked with Drake before. I met Drake before. Like cool guy. So I wasn't really antsy to meet him like that. But like we were just doing straight local. Moves like we were going to local bars.
Did you go to that
day parties.
That jerk place that
nah,
was in the
nah,
video?
That was in the video. No,
because
it
only got like really like
popping that, now. It's
yeah,
popping
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
not because
of the video.
I was in Toronto. That
oh
spot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll go back
wait,
over your first.
The work video
was
in Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah, we're gonna go back. It's a landmark now. You know what I mean? So yeah, we just did local things. The most industry thing we did, we went to like some day party, right? And it wasn't really industry. It was just a day party at some spot at this place called the Cube, and. It was really a weird night because we were so gone. I was gone off of wine, like bodied a whole bottle of wine by myself.
Just like that old 80-year-old woman.
Yeah, a bottle of wine. So it's me and my man's, of course, Rel, Arthur, Jerry, And we're just wilding out in there. We're the only ones wild. You could tell we were from out of town because we brought that whole like day party, yeah, New York like, City day party.
Hard.
We was going hard in there. Like everybody in there was in their Sunday best trying to look cool for whatever. Odell like, Beckham and VIP, Future and VIP. It's a day party, mind you. And so we're just going hard, hard, hard. That's when Future walks out of VIP. He's bouncing or whatever. And then Jerry's gone out of his mind. And he walks up to him. He calls him. He yells across the room, "Yo, Few!
Few!
Few!" He calls him. I never heard nobody refer to him.
I've never
as
heard
Few,
that before.
As Few, yo, Few! And he busts through like this. Jerry's a big dude too, right. So he busts through the first wave of security around Future, and he gives him dab. Yo, Few! I fuck with you. I fuck with you, Few. That's and he goes crazy. Back to turning up. It was like that kind of weekend. Few. Like it was just like so. We didn't do any industry stuff. Like I heard about the Tings, House of Tings thing. I saw it on Bleacher Report and whatever.
Yeah,
and I saw it, but I didn't hear about it till like the night it was going down. But we were so like deep in. We were just so deep in Toronto.
Yeah,
you know, men's in them. We was just so like part of the scene. Like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're
yeah,
just
y'all was
local.
Really on.
We
yo.
Was in it, son. We
did you do
it.
Anything?
Y'all was really some waste men.
Yeah. Did either of you guys do anything like industry when All Star was here last year?
Oh
my God.
You know it's the anniversary too.
Oh my God.
You know it's the anniversary. You know what I was thinking about? We should have told yo, this is the anniversary.
Yeah, this was probably another candidate.
Oh my God.
For the open mic?
For the open mic.
Dog.
Wow.
The Spike Lee party. Spike Lee had a party in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Big party.
It was a
BAM.
Sneaker party.
Sneaker party. You could only get in if you wore sneakers.
Sneakers.
You know what I'm saying? So we get in there.
I think it was like Jordan. It was like I think he did it with Jordan.
He did with
as
Jordan.
Well.
Right. Memorabilia. He had his own memorabilia, personal Jordan
yeah,
stuff signed by
it was
Jordan.
It was a dope Spike
setup.
Lee dope.
He had
it was a joint.
Yeah. He had the old like 40 Acres and the Mule crew in there. All like the everybody was wearing their Letterman jackets and like the 40 Acres and the Mule Letterman jackets.
Spike had on a suit with kicks. Like
yeah, it was a prestigious thing. It was dope. Carquette DJing.
Yeah.
Open bar, food. It was dope.
It was very not fancy, but it was. You know, a proper event.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't remember what I was doing before that, but
nah,
I know I was
were,
out
you,
that
nah,
day.
You were with the fiends. You were with the fiends.
I think
earlier.
I did a day party or something.
With the fiends.
Speaking of day parties that day, and Nard was like, yo, first of all, Nard's like, yo, I got an invite to the Spikes joint. You can come through if you want. Right. Mm-hmm. So I go to the day party, all of this stuff. Then my boy Rel,
my man, shout out to Rel.
Was visiting from Boston. He's like, yo, what you doing? I was like, yo, I've been drinking all day by this time too. And I'm like, yo, no, put me onto this Spike Lee thing. He only got a plus one. But yo, come through. We gonna figure it out when we get there. Right? This is just drunk, overly confident, like me, just like, yeah, this is gonna happen, right?
And they're late. I'm in the snow waiting on these dudes, by the way.
We get there, you know, and luckily, like, was like, you know, he told you guys no.
Yeah, of course.
I was gonna say his name because whatever.
Right. But
we'll mute that.
Yeah. So he was like
trying to protect him because when he gets to his story, they get like, oh, you're the one who invited
him. He was like, oh nah, he's good, don't worry. So we all get up in there. They had like a sort of
stadium
bleachers type of situation.
He's drunk.
So I'm walking down the stairs, and the first thing I do is slip and bust my ass.
He falls down the steps.
I held the railing. I remember holding it, and I was just like, boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
I got up. And I look around, and it's like, I'm talking about a grown and sexy party, but people are just chilling.
It's a beautiful party, man.
Like people are just chilling.
People are still eating their finger foods.
They're just chilling. They're just chilling, just drinking their drink like normal people. And then here come me.
You just hear, bum, 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 and just falling down the stairs.
Falling down the stairs. This is
like
3 minutes into the party.
Literally. He didn't even check his coat.
So whatever. So we're chilling, going throughout the party, whatever. You know, more normal type of behavior though. But towards the end of the party, there was now a dance circle.
Yeah. Mm. This is like in a separate section, separate room. Like, if people, they're done with the reception, that part where he fell and bust his face, it was a reception. It was like open, like a warming, like, yo, get settled, yo.
And again, it's not like the music was crazy.
It was
loud.
No music, damn near.
It was loud.
It was light music. It was like Ashford and Simpson
and again,
playing.
Nobody was up, like, grooving. And
nothing.
People
everybody
were just sitting, chilling.
Chilling, just scoping out the scene.
When I busted my whole grill.
Yeah.
So then... Now we're getting to the dance circle. Now.
Yeah, yeah. Clark Kent on the wheels. You know what I mean?
Of course.
New Jack
like
swing
I said,
playing.
I got there. I was decently lubricated. But when I got two spots. Of course, open bar was on deck. I kept drinking. Going. So we're in the dance circle just doing, you know.
Doing what we do. Partying up.
What I had noticed was there were a couple of girls who were kind of taking it serious. Mm. And they were really like dancing. Mm. And I was like, nah, they ain't just gonna show me up right
so
now.
So a circle starts to form a house party S circle starts forming around Wise.
I start going
chicks.
Hard, running man, cabbage patch. I'm going hard. Like I'm doing the chicken noodle soup.
Everything.
I'm doing everything. I'm pulling out
Toe wop. Everything.
Tone wop. Next thing you know. I somehow ended up on the floor. Sure. I didn't fall, but I ended up on the floor. I started pelvic thrusting.
The floor.
Humping the ground. To me, that was like an intimidation, like finishing move.
In the ground.
Lo and behold, it was the finishing move.
It was the finishing move.
These girls were next to him and Jarrell.
Yeah.
And they saw me and they were like, Oh hell no.
That deflated the whole party.
Embarrassed. Like, yo, people know that I'm with this dude.
The whole circle disbanded and dispersed. He's still on the ground. He's doing push-ups at this point. He's like doing push-ups.
Oh, I was doing push-ups.
He started doing push-ups. And the whole crowd dispersed. And there's a dude with a mop. There's literally an old man. Who's mopping behind him because he's still mad drink. The whole time he's doing this, he's drinking. He's spilling drinks everywhere. There's an old man with a mop, probably like 70 years old.
Mopping around.
So there's a
he
trail
was mopping
of
nothing
mop.
Else. He didn't leave because he knew I was
dirty
still
mop
dancing.
Water around this dude while he's doing push-ups in the middle of the dirty mop water ring.
And you know that famous Ric Flair speech where he was like, I spent more money on spilt liquor? That's what he meant.
That was you.
Like, all of that liquor spilled.
Embarrassed.
Just embarrassed myself like, at Spike Lee's beautiful event. Like,
I mean, Spike Lee's in the party,
amazing
man.
Amazing event.
You know what I mean? Like, black luminaries. Yeah, like, people that affect the culture black. And that pushed us forward. And yeah, just like,
the black elite was definitely in the building.
And he said,
then you.
Yeah, and then me. Then a you. Party crash.
Yeah, oh crashed God. The party. Yeah, that was a year. That was 2 years ago. Now, yeah, right?
You know what that was?
A year ago.
Yeah, it was last year because it was All Star.
That was a year ago.
That's the definition of black excellence.
Yo,
that's it. Black excellence, opulence, decadence. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Yo, Wise and Nod. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, man.
Always good to be here.
Thanks everyone for listening to A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Please subscribe, rate, comment. Comment on iTunes. Let us know how you're feeling. We appreciate all the comments that have been coming in the past couple of weeks.
You know what? I don't appreciate every comment.
Really?
I appreciate every good comment.
Okay, leave a good comment for us.
But the thing is, every comment so far has been a good comment.
Woo! Yeah.
All 5-star reviews.
That's right. Light work.
Yeah.
Listen. Please support us and go tell a friend about A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, which friend would you like to tell?
All right, well, last week I shouted out Matt Fastow and Brian Kraft and everybody in South Florida, right?
Yes, you did.
I sort of fucked up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I meant to also individually name every single person from South Florida.
Really?
Yeah. And so somebody hit me up on Snapchat saying that they were from South Florida. It's Mr. Taribio on Snapchat, but his name is Rennie from South Florida.
South Florida.
So I want to shout out Rennie. I'm so sorry for not individually naming you last week, but this week
Why are you sorry? Nothing to be sorry about.
I don't know. I feel
you're shouting him out right now.
Yeah, but last week I really should have. I mean, I didn't know him last week.
You want to go back and edit it?
Yeah, just put it in for last week. Anyway, I'm sorry I fucked up. Rennie, shouts to him. Eric, who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out everybody who went to Syracuse, and specifically I'm talking John, I'm talking Jim, I'm talking Nate, I'm talking Chelsea, I'm talking Alana. Everybody who is representing for Central New York right now, because Syracuse is running through this tournament, surprising everybody, and I really hope they don't lose by the time we air this this podcast. But for now and forever, shouts to everyone at Syracuse University. Jeff, would you like to do this again next week?
Yeah, did you mean to also shout out Matt Fastow?
Matt Fastow! But you shouted him out last week. But yeah, shout out to Matt Fastow. Shouts to Syracuse. See you later.